B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow.
Wall dick, where you at?
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog.
It's a rite of passage.
Midget with a dog.
I'm the son of the Pope.
Dog's pretty big.
Yeah.
Midget's pretty small.
Yeah.
Midget with a dog.
We got our beefs, bro.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. Town Fair Tire Studios. You can call us at 617-779-0985. Watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. And obviously, a lot of discussion of the game last night will be happening today. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of listener reaction. I'm sure we're going to be inundated with phone calls.
You know what? Because that's what we do, Fred, is we take phone calls.
I'm sure that it would be we don't have any guests. We like to sprinkle in a guest to hear someone else talk because we don't have anyone. No one calls the show. So we asked Forsberg to do the show. Guess what time Forsberg's flight is?
Oh, listen, if it's because NBC Sports Boston is notorious for.
You're never going to guess when it was. And I'm giving you a hint when it was.
Okay, so I would say that it's got to be like a 12:30 flight or something.
It was
like that.
A 1:10 in the morning flight.
That's insane. Well, first of all, it's kind of awesome that they allow. I mean, I don't think if you fly to Logan, you can get anything after 10 o'clock at night. Like that airport just shuts down.
There's correct.
Like no late flights anywhere.
Yeah, because you got to figure that they have a lot of red eyes out of there.
Yep. Yeah, sure. Yeah, if it's a 1:10 flight, sure.
But there still is the depression of getting into the airport like while everything's closed.
Oh, yep. Sure.
That is one of the most depressing things on the planet.
It could be worse. I remember taking a red eye back from L.A. and we stopped in Vegas on the way home. Mm-hmm. You want to see the walk of the living dead.
Oh,
try
yeah.
catching a red eye from Vegas Sunday into Monday back to Boston.
But it's jumping. Like the airport's jumping at midnight.
But
because
if you're stuck,
so many people take that.
I know, but if you're on the plane, you don't see that part. You only see the people stumble onto the plane.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's like death. Death
yes, it is.
I haven't been to Vegas in a long time, but I was always surprised at the lack of like bars in the Vegas airport. Because like if you go to the bar at the Vegas airport, it's like maximum capacity of like 30.
Yeah.
And there's like people like milling about outside.
They want you to get your ass to the casinos.
Yes. There's like,
don't you be spending time here. Get in a cab and head on back to the strip.
Right. And or play one of the fabulous machines we have here right here in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get really going.
So Forsberg had a 1:10 flight, which gets in at what time this morning?
So 3 hour times change, so it's 4:10.
So it's
our
probably
time.
Around like three something our time, because it's like a 5-6 hour flight, right?
Well, you jump 1:10
in the morning, which means he left the West Coast at 4:10 in the morning Eastern time.
Oh yes.
Yeah, so
you thought it was in the afternoon?
No. I'm sorry. I brain dead
so
math.
Subtracted three instead of adding three.
That's right. He'll get in around like 9:30.
Oh my God,
is when he'll get in 9:30, 10. Because that's a 5-hour, 6-hour flight. He'll get in at 11.
Yeah. So for San Francisco, that's a full flight. That's about 5.5-6 hours.
God. No, okay. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to get to the building to do, you know, pregame. We want you to get there like 3, 4 in the afternoon.
Right.
And you've been up since whatever, you know, 4, you know, 9 in the morning West Coast time.
Yeah.
We don't want you to go to sleep. We want you to stay up, and then we want you to go to the airport and try and get some sleep on a red eye.
Does he have to bring his, like, carry-on to the arena?
Yes, of course you do. Yes.
It sucks.
It just, they must just look at the flights and just go,
what's cheap. The cheapest? Exactly.
Just cheap.
By the way, we're going to put you in row 26, you know, seat E.
Oh, no, yeah, you think?
You get a middle seat, bud. Enjoy yourself.
And you're saying 26, try like, you know, 45.
45E. Right, yeah. Up against the bulkhead.
By the way, am I the only one who had no idea there was a watch party down at Faneuil Hall last night?
Oh, I had no idea.
Dude, I'm seeing this stuff all over TV this morning, and I'm like, do we work for the Celtic station? And I had no idea that was going on.
No clue.
I know there's a huge rally on Wednesday. Like, they're doing a big thing down at Government Center for that. But I didn't know there was, like, is this the first time they've done that, right? I can't remember there
for
being
a finals game?
Yeah, like,
I don't know. Did they do that in 2010?
The Bruins did it at North Station back in 2019?
Yeah, when the Stanley Cup final was here, right across the street from the...
No. This was a like watch. This was a big screen showing the game.
In Government Center.
Because I remember the city fought against that for a long time. Remember?
You don't remember when the band Guster played at the one years ago?
But I do remember.
All I do
it's like in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I just got lost. I got lost in Guster's music.
We got bongos.
I got lost in the bongo band.
But let's get them rallied with, you know, a little hand on skins.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I thought that for some reason it was like the I remember the city being like super prude, and you would watch all these other towns that would do it. But I'm just now realizing that they did that last night, and I'm like, this is all brand new. I thought that the city didn't do that anymore. It's nice that they did it. It's bad that it's a crap game that they got to watch. But, you know, did they even do that for game one? I have no idea.
I don't think they did it for game one. But if they did, I can't imagine going to Faneuil Hall for the watch party. See, for Rich, that's like a 2-block walk.
I would have loved that, like, you know, back in the day. You know, that would have been fun if you were, like, you know, in your 20s. And see, that would have been a blast to do that. But, and I'm glad the city's doing it, because I always thought they were way too prudish to not do it in years past. So it's nice that they did it. But that's kind of weird that we work for, like, the Celtics radio station. We had no idea that was going on.
Well, maybe it was sponsored by something else.
Maybe.
Maybe it was sponsored by they had to get a sponsorship to afford Chris Forsberg to fly home. Maybe it was NBC Sports Boston.
That is crazy that they have him doing that, man.
Yeah.
Well, that they got to get him back in time for the you know, the afternoon shows. I guarantee you he'll be on TV. His face will be all over TV tomorrow.
God. Oh, boy.
No. Or, yeah, I mean, today, not tomorrow. Today.
No,
I guess
what
tomorrow
I'm saying
from
is no. I mean, you figure. I mean, I don't know if he's like you, Rich. He can turn himself off on a red eye, but
it's,
I mean,
still not real sleep.
I was getting to that. It's not real sleep. It's not like relaxing at all, especially when you're in row 45, seat E. You know, you're stuck between two people. So
yeah, I'm sure he's got, you know, very good. I'm sure he's way in the front.
Right.
I'm sure he's first class.
But I would agree. He probably lands at Logan, you know, gets his stuff, goes right to Burlington.
All right. What's going on with the phone?
What do you mean?
I need the phone on hold. Okay. Because I have a feeling I know the guy he was next to on the flight. Hello. That's right,
yeah.
Rock and Roll Mike.
Are you asking if this is...
Oh. All right. Thank you, Rock and Roll Mike.
Yeah. All right. How you guys doing?
Oh, Rock and Roll Mike couldn't be better. It's very exciting times around here.
Yeah.
Now, Rock and Roll Mike, we never talked to you. Did you enjoy the performance at the Wilbur that we did?
I enjoyed the Wilbur so much.
I heard
do it again.
Did you walk away with cash, or were you doing everything for free? Because I saw you taking a lot of pictures.
I did great. I gave a lot of pictures. $5.
All right, so it was $5 a picture. Do you know how much money you made?
I made a good amount of money for everything I needed.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Tusher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
Recapping what you missed, it's Tusher and Rich.
What happened last night?
All right, game two of the NBA Finals. And we thought it would be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
A good series.
Yep, matter of fact, even after game one, don't sniff your own farts, man. I think I said it was going to go seven no matter what, even after you saw that. They're too talented, they have too much pride, and they have too good of a coach, and they also picked the worst time to have the worst quarter in game two.
Final 5 seconds. Golden State trying to finish a championship quarter in style with a half-court shot by Jordan Poole. Woo! And the Celtics get a run off the floor in game two. The best third quarter team in the NBA puts on a show, and they were better tonight in the third quarter than they were in game one. A game that was tied 30 seconds into the quarter is now a blowout. Celtics trailed by one at the end of one, by two at halftime, but they're down by 23 as we make the turn for home, end of three.
Kendrick Perkins so eloquently tweeted after the game, quote, "That ass whooping the Warriors just gave the Celtics is about to have that flight back to Boston as quiet as a man squeezing out a fart in church. Don't mind me, though. Carry on." We shall, Kendrick. We shall carry
Thank
on.
Thank God they extended the amount of words you could put in Twitter, because it allows him to use two catchphrases at the end.
That's right. Well, all postseason long, the Warriors have been a force in the third quarter, and last night may have been their third quarter Mona Lisa. 35-14 ass kicking that seemed to be foreshadowed in the first half. Even though the score was close at the midpoint, the physicality seemed completely one-sided.
Klay Thompson on the inbound, inside for the Wiggins. Steph comes to get it against Horford. Steph, here's the step back, straightaway three. Yep. Woo. Warriors extend their largest lead. They're up by eight now, 62-54.
Well, you knew that from the very first play when Draymond tried to rip the ball away from Al Horford, that Golden State, they were pissed. Pissed that they were punked in game one, and Draymond was going to tackle, elbow, and kick his team right back into the series.
Jaylen Brown going to pull up for three. Draymond knocked him down. He'll get three free throws. And Jaylen Brown shoves Draymond's shoe away. Yeah. Draymond's trying to start trouble, and he will gladly take himself out of the game if he can get Jaylen Brown out of the game.
Wow, Draymond's just out of control.
He is.
Wait, he kicked him. First he kicked him. Watch this play.
Draymond challenged the three. He got in the landing space. Easy call. They both go tumbling to the ground. And then when they were on the ground, Draymond Green kept his legs on top of Jaylen, and Jaylen pushed his legs away.
By the way, real quick, Fred, everything that followed on the broadcast after that play was complete and total nonsense, okay. But we will get into that later.
Oh, you want to get into it later?
Yeah, because I've got the audio, and it's just, I listened to it again this morning, and it's the most mind-blowingly dumb thing that's ever been put on broadcast television.
Now, you're saying Van Gundy was dumb?
I was saying that Van Gundy was really dumb, because he contradicted himself.
Oh, because John and I agree that in the playoffs, I don't think that you call technicals. Yeah, on that.
No. That's not my problem with what they did, because I'm with you. I think I know
where Rich is going with this. And Van Gundy, after contradicting himself, realized he had done it, and Mark Jackson of all people called him out on it.
It was one of the dumbest things that I've heard anyone say on TV.
Not the initial thing. No. It was the explanation afterwards.
And I'm actually, so there's two different parts of that. There is, should that be a technical? No.
Thank you.
But if you believe it's a technical, you also shouldn't worry about whether someone had a technical before it. I think that's two different things. And then what Jeff Van Gundy said was completely BS. Yeah,
he went around in a circle.
Yeah, he did.
Do you want to get someone yelling at me about Draymond Green out of the way?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. Sure, why not?
Okay. All right.
Paul, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Fred. By the way, that broadcast team absolutely blows.
They're the worst.
So Draymond Green, my friend Fred, is he the dirtiest player since Bill Laimbeer?
Yeah, he's pretty dirty, but not Lamb style. Bill Laimbeer would just
Laimbeer
pick you up.
Was, you know, there's Laimbeer and then there's everybody else.
Yeah, like, I get, but I bet you if the rules were like they were in the 80s, that Laimbeer would hit, that Green would hit people in the face.
Sure.
But yeah, he's dirty, of course.
And it works. And it worked yesterday because he knew he could get away with it. And the physicality, immediately, the tone that he set.
And by the way,
completely effed with the Celtics.
And by the way,
they weren't ready for it.
The Celtics play the same. Now, they don't take it as far as Draymond does, but the Celtics rely on the referees letting stuff go so they can play good defense. I mean, Golden State, by the way, Golden State is a very good defensive team led by that guy.
We talked about last week how funny it would be if Grant Williams tried to bow up to Draymond Green.
Yes.
And I don't know if you saw, while it was happening, I was dying laughing because he was truly pissing off Draymond Green. Like, you know, Grant Williams was like mouthing off to him. And at one point, they're elbowing each other. And I think he had gotten a technical. That's why he got his first technical,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was on Grant Williams.
When he walked away, he starts pointing at Grant Williams. And I couldn't see what he was saying. But if you zoom in, he's going, he's a bozo. He's a bozo. He used the term bozo. Like,
by the way, Grant Williams called on a foul. That was all Draymond Green running into him.
Draymond Green tackled Grant Williams.
Yeah. And blindsided him, knocked him over, and they called him for foul.
Let's get this out of the way right now before people like lose their minds. The first quarter of that game was one of the worst officiated things I have seen ever. Hey, what's up? That's no excuse for the third quarter.
But Paul,
none whatsoever.
Paul, are you a fan of Brad Marchand?
Okay, you got me. But Brad Marchand, it's hockey. Hockey's different.
All right.
No, the theory is the same, Paul. Let's be honest.
Marchand licks dudes' faces.
Honestly.
If you can get away with it, you can get away. And you know what? And we'll play the clip later on.
You would love to have Draymond.
Even Draymond Green like admits, I get away with stuff that most people don't get away with.
Which caused a fury of people.
We're fans of Brad Marchand here, but if Tom Wilson were on the Bruins, we would absolutely love him.
He is one of the main reasons that team was able to pull away last night. From the second he was on the court, and it was dirty, and we obviously know it was over the top, and the refs were out of their minds, especially that Grant Williams one, which was hysterical.
That was an absolutely ludicrous.
I mean, it was ludicrous.
I have no idea what they were looking at.
I don't either, but all of that being said, I believe that it was screwing with the Celtics so badly that you can almost point at their frustrations into what happened in that third quarter.
And by the way, Cedric Maxwell's right, and I've told you guys this, is that Green would have no problem getting kicked out of a game if he felt that that was what was needed.
If they could take Jaylen Brown off with him,
If they could take Jaylen Brown off with him, or if he feels that he can, like, he can send the Celtics over the top. Like, if he thinks that he can get them, like, crazed, then he's willing to remove himself from games. So I think he would be he probably thought he was going to get kicked out of that game anyway.
Give him credit. He gamed the system. He did a great job last night.
Yeah, and don't yell at me because I like him, because you would like him too. And I'm not even a Golden State fan. I want the Celtics to win the series.
But what he did worked.
I just really like Draymond Green, and I like the way he plays. And
he's an all-defensive player. He's won Defensive Player of the Year, and he's one of the reasons, as I just said, Golden State is a top-tier defensive team that played like it last night. The Celtics got beat by a better team. It wasn't Draymond Green. It had nothing to do with the referees. Golden State in the third quarter just played a lot better, and they made more shots. That's what it was last night. Refs didn't rob the Celtics of a win.
And by the way, if you're a Celtics fan, you split in San Francisco. You won.
Sure. Yeah, I know. But and that's obviously a win in that way. But, I mean, boy, that third quarter was awful. Well, there was, you know, so much frustration, and the Warriors just playing at a different level physically, and they were getting away with everything in that first half. So much that we got a rare one of these from Coach Udoka.
Third quarter, they just couldn't stave off a onslaught that the Celtics gave them in the fourth.
We got a technical foul against Ime Udoka.
So when the Celtics weren't able to match Golden State's intensity. They imploded. After being the lead...
Doka needed to take a tee.
He did. And you'll hear his sound clip in a second as to why he did it. It's great. So yeah. After being the lead scorer in game one, Al Horford barely touched the ball, being held to just 2 points. Marcus Smart as well, able to muster 2 points as well. I don't care who you are.
And there's another starter that had 2 points.
Rob Williams.
2 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's some Miami Heat backcourt stuff there with Marcus Smart. Like, that was just strange how you can be the point guard of this team and only score 2 points.
And Tatum was
good.
And Tatum really set some, like, kind of weird record.
Here's the record. So even Jason Tatum, who was able to score 28 points, was a major part of the team's collapse in the third period. So despite all of those points he scored, the 28, Tatum was a whopping minus 36 last night. That is the worst plus-minus by any player in a finals game in the play-by-play era. So that team, he was a massive part of that collapse. Now, the Celtics, 88 points, by the way, that's the lowest that they've scored in any game ever since December 29th. And you remember how bad the team was back in December. So when we get back, Fred, some of the post-game stuff from both teams is just phenomenal. First of all, there is the he said between Draymond Green and Jaylen Brown on the one foul where right. He fell on top of him. And it's interesting, too, because things are brought up that I didn't even realize the first time around, but on second viewing of the foul, they're absolutely right. On top of that, you'll hear Ime Udoka as well, and a fairly pissed off Ime Udoka and Jason Tatum. He was pissed off as well. So we will get to some of that stuff.
All right, we'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's TNR.
It really is just a reality check of just how no one cares.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Water in the face, the hard way, as Golden State dominates the third quarter. A pull away and hand the Celtics their worst loss in months. The final score in game two of the NBA Finals, Golden State 107, Boston 88.
Oh, yeah. All right, Rich, what's going on?
All right, so we've been talking about, you know, everything that happened with the physicality of the game and how Ime Udoka was ejected, and I thought it was pretty funny afterwards. They asked Ime, you know, tell me what you did to earn that technical. And
I just let him know how I felt throughout the game in a demonstrative way on purpose to get a technical.
Which I thought was a great answer.
Yeah, you needed to get one.
I was trying to get a technical. Because I wanted to send a message, and of course it didn't really work because by that point I think the toothpaste was already out of the tube. So looking at the play, of course, where you had Jaylen Brown on the ground and Draymond Green with his legs over him, the very controversial one that was a non-double technical, Jaylen Brown went into a description of how he saw that play happening and what actually happened.
Just trying to play basketball, and I feel like that was an illegal play. I feel like they could have called it, but they let it go in terms of a technical on either way, but I don't know what I was supposed to do there. Like some guy, he got their legs on the top of your head, and then he tried to pull my pants down. I don't know what that was about, but you know that's what Draymond Green does. He'll do whatever it takes to win. He'll pull you, he'll grab you, he'll try to muck the game up because that's what he does for their team. It's not nothing to be surprised about, not nothing I'm surprised about. He raised his physicality to try to stop us, and we got to raise ours. I'm looking forward to the challenge.
So I heard that clip and I'm like, try to put your pants down. What are you talking about? And I went back and watched it, and sure enough, he did. So it was after Jaylen Brown finally got up. And remember how Draymond Green was like incredulous. Like, what are you talking about? And when Draymond tried to stand up, he grabs Brown by the pants and pulls it down as he stands up. Like, he completely and totally does it on purpose. Everything Draymond does is on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Every little move, every elbow, everything with his arm, He is a veteran, seasoned in doing this type of dirty play. But he did try to grab his pants and pants him a little bit as he stood up.
Good for Jalen Brown for tying him extra tight.
That's right.
I mean, Draymond Green's not a small man. He couldn't even get work those things down.
I just think it's funny that, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals, you had Kyle Lowry, who flops a lot and, you know, throws his arms up. And but Lowry's a guard. You know, he's a guard. Yeah. He's not very big.
No.
And then and it's kind of like a video game where you get by the sort of tough guy and then you get to the really tough guy at the end of the game. That's what Draymond Green is. Draymond Green is the big boss in Double Dragon.
Sure.
You know, he's the guy at the end that's tough to beat. And so this is it right here.
It was pretty funny, too, because, you know, if you think that Jalen's just bitching there, he went on to basically say, well, I mean, this is what we should have expected. And
you just play basketball. Keep doing. You smile and you keep doing what you do. You know, I know what I can bring to the game. I know what I'm capable of doing, and they know that as well. So that's what Draymond's going to do. He's going to try to muck things up. He's going to try to pull your arm, whatever it takes to win. And that's what he's made a career out of, respect to him. But right now, I ain't got time for that. So we get ready for the next one.
And that's the attitude, because if you start getting angry and focusing on him,
You'll lose your mind.
Yeah.
Handled that exceptionally well, I thought. Jalen Brown said exactly what you would hope he would say afterwards. There was another way he could have gone. He could have gone, you know what, Draymond, you can't get away with that stuff.
What are the officials looking at?
I mean, look, the officials should have stepped in. He didn't say any of that. Didn't make any excuses. It's on to game three. Good for him.
I'll say the only thing Draymond did that might bite him in the ass is the one thing that refs do not like is being shown up. And yesterday after the game, we're trying to find the clip, but I have the quote right here.
Yeah, I know what he said.
He was, you know, they were talking about getting tangled up with Jalen Brown. He says, it's the NBA Finals. Like I said, I wear my badge of honor. It's not that I'm saying they necessarily treat me different. I've earned deferential treatment. I enjoy that. I embrace that. That might be the quote that is going to get him in trouble in game three. I think that's one of those where if you're a ref or you're somebody who's going to be covering that game, that immediately goes on your radar. And you go, oh, yeah, is that what you really think of us? You think of us that way? You call us out like that? Now, it's one thing that it actually happens. We all know that. But to say those words and put it out there during the finals, I have a feeling that they are not going to be anywhere near as lenient to Draymond Green in game three. And also, especially when they start replaying, like, what's his name? Grant Williams getting tackled. Well, yeah. I think there might be some makeup calls in this series.
Well, I don't know how big a fan they are of Grant Williams either. Nick, go ahead.
Guys, that first half yesterday was some baller's life prison basketball that was a terrible product. But I don't know if you guys heard, after Ime got the technical, they even announced it. They said, I'm not good at reading mouths here, but I'm pretty sure what Ime said. And I believe he said something along the lines that Draymond was a pussycat, minus the cat.
Right.
And he also called him a female dog. He said, you're just a female dog.
Really? I want to go back and watch that.
Go back and read his mouth. He tried pulling his mask up, but he actually pulled it down to say that to him.
Interesting. I did not see that.
I saw him say BS, like, this is BS, it's BS, like, over and over. So at that point, I need to go back and watch that. But I wouldn't doubt it. Udoka doesn't back down.
No. And he's probably like, let me be the one who does it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
You guys don't lose your heads. Again, like I said, and we all agree, is that you had to take a tech there. And you're the coach, and you'll be the guy who goes after the officials, keep the players out of it. That's what you have to do.
It's a great learning experience for this team.
Well,
it's
a
great learning experience because it happened early in the series. That's the best thing that could have happened to this team. You run across a guy who doesn't play by the same rules as everybody else, gets away with a ton, does get preferential treatment because he's an all-defensive player, and ultimately, you know, it's 1-1, and this didn't happen in Game 5 to give Golden State a 3-2 lead.
Right. Our caller's exactly right. Dan just brought in a video of Ime Udoka, and that's exactly what he's saying. He's calling him the P word, and then he's like, yeah, you know, calling him a bitch, which is great. So good for and you know, the man who always wears the mask pulled it down so you didn't get it twisted in what he was saying.
Yeah.
So, by the way, the Celtics, they've been outscored 73-38 in the two third quarters of the series. On top of that, this is one of those games you get about every three or four games this postseason where the Celtics just can't hold on to the damn ball. The Warriors were able to score 33 points off of the 19 turnovers.
Yeah, and they turned the ball over a lot in the first half, even though they were hanging in there. They turned the ball over a lot in the first half, and you kind of saw that if that was going to be the case, that the game might get a little bit out of hand.
How many, like, how much of a sample size does Jason Tatum need to know that they are not going to call fouls on when you dribble into a bunch of people and you throw your hands up in the air
and
lose the
ball? He did get a couple going to the basket. He did get those veteran calls. Like, really? That's a foul? Okay.
But there was like four or five there where it was just like...
Yeah, but he also got three or four to go his way. I mean, it's a coin flip. I think it's a coin flip now.
Yeah.
So
he's a yell more like Paul Pierce used to. That would always get him. It's the emphatic yell is what would get them to blow the whistle.
Well, in all seriousness, I mean, he was grabbing at his shoulder again, so maybe he's hurt, but that's two bad games in a row for Jason Tatum.
I don't know. Well, he had it going there for a while.
He did, but then he was...
set that record for plus nine.
That's the third quarter.
Third quarter was on him as well as everybody else. But that first half, he played really well, I thought.
Well, he told himself he was going to be a shooter, unlike game one. He was like, I'm going to finally score.
And he made a bunch of them, too. He had 21 points in the first half.
Doesn't mean that's the best basketball play, but he was good. And this is kind of interesting, too. Horford, you know how he didn't even barely touch the ball in the first half. I don't think he shot the ball until the third quarter. Am I right about that? He only had 2 points.
Yes, one shot.
And he was right about something. He was asked afterwards about, you know, what was going on. Why was this game so different with getting some of these other pieces involved? And he said
that we just needed to move the ball more, get some more movement. You know, I can look at film and be like, oh no, we got movement. We just didn't get the shot. So I believe that we just have to play at our own pace, make sure that we're driving the ball, driving and kicking. And when we play like that, that's when we're at our best.
That's where the Warriors will get you. If you speed them up, if they speed the Celtics up to their speed, it almost always backfires. It's when the Celtics are able to control their pace, slow it down, and as you said, drive and kick. That was what killed them in game one, especially in that fourth quarter. So they got away from that. But then again, credit to that Warriors defense, man. They were just awesome at the end of that game. So good for them. Vegas, by the way, seems to believe the pattern of the Celtics winning after a loss is going to continue. They favor the Celtics in game three by 3.5 points.
Nothing's changed.
Nope. No.
I mean, if you're a Celtics fan, what'd you think? You thought you were going to sweep them?
I know. That's
you
the
won
thing.
you won in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And that's all that matters. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday.
And Draymond Green, you know, he is obviously very happy that his team was able to step up physicality.
I think it was definitely an attitude adjustment. Like I said, we didn't play with enough force the entire 48 minutes. We had spurts where we played with the right amount of force in game one. But overall, against a team like that, you can't let your foot off the gas pedal. All they need to see is one shot go in, and it can start a domino effect. And so we knew, like I said last game, they are who we thought they were. So we knew we had to keep our foot on the gas pedal and not let up. And we did that, and we're able to come out with the win.
I didn't see this, but a listener saying at one point in the game, Green was at the free throw line and him and Grant were trash talking. You could see Draymond mouth to Williams, "You wish you were me."
Which is probably true.
Which is true.
Just thought that was great.
By the way, Grant Williams, another bad game. I'm surprised you guys thought Jason Tatum played well.
No, the first half
he played well. Second half he was horrible.
Okay, all right.
Well, the first half he was keeping him in the game, him and Jalen.
Yeah.
And single-handedly kept the Celtics where they were.
Jalen could miss, yeah.
Jalen was insane in the first half, but, I mean, Tatum's got to play better than that.
Oh, my God, that third quarter was
all right, you guys
kind of,
like, knocked me around a little bit when I said Tatum didn't play well. I was a little surprised.
Well, I mean, it was a first half, third quarter thing. I mean, it truly was the total difference.
Yeah, he was terrible in the third quarter.
Yeah.
He was one of the reasons they didn't play well at all. Didn't make any shots. Didn't take any shots. Tatum disappeared in the third. Not that it would have mattered. I mean, Golden State was pretty much scoring on every possession.
Yeah, so. Hauser was plus three. He gets Sam Hauser.
Garbage
came
time
in and
came.
Knocked down his three. That's right. That's what he's there for.
You know what's funny? Yeah. I'm looking at Horford and Smart together. So in game one, the two of them scored 44 points together. 16 field goals, 10 3-pointers. And yesterday, to combine those two, 4 points, now, 2 field goals, and 0 3-pointers.
Well, the thing with Horford is he's not an offensive player. If he has it going and they leave him alone, then he'll start taking shots. But last night, it was clear, and you saw it after the big game he had against Giannis of Milwaukee. What happened in the next game? Disappeared. Yeah. Didn't play. His job is to move the ball. His job is to rebound. His job is to play defense. And if that offense is there, that's a big bonus. So, yeah, Horford wasn't looking for a shot because he's not part of the offense.
The Marcus Smart thing, though, there's no excuse for that. You can't be the point guard of this team and just score 2 points. And you also can't be the defensive player of the year and allow that team to go off the way they did in the third quarter.
I have a friend who keeps texting now who's saying, I agree with you, Fred. They are wrong. First half, he was 7-for-16 with 4 turnovers. His three hit threes, but he was like 2-for-10 on 2-point attempts. I don't know. I just like
how many points did he have in the first half? Well,
21 points in the first
half. 21 points in the first half.
Yeah.
Score 20 points if you shoot 16 times. By the way, you know who can't shoot is Wiggins. Wiggins is not a good offensive player.
See, he is, but he's been bad this series.
I mean,
like, he's been very good.
Layups?
I know.
No, there was that layup where Brown couldn't foul him, right?
That's right.
Like, you know, because he had 2 fouls on him.
Right, and he still missed.
I still don't
came
get
in from the left side. Yeah. Still tried to shoot it right handed and missed.
I don't know. I don't know how you're in the NBA in that.
So he is
Thank
the definition.
You, Josh.
He's the definition of a guy who the moment seems to be too big for him. Like, you can tell that he is wilted. Yes,
yeah.
He is wilted in this series.
See, I don't
so far.
Understand why you would wilt, because Wiggins is the fourth number four guy on that team. If there was ever a time to be relaxed, there's no pressure on him.
He's never been here.
I know that.
What's the closest he's even sniffed to this?
Never.
He's
but
such
I guess,
a good athlete.
I know, but I guess my point is they don't rely on him to
right.
do much.
I know what you're saying, that he's like a complimentary piece.
Why would you? I mean, look, all the pressure is on the other three guys.
I just don't know how these guys miss open layups. Yeah. I mean, it's
Golden
crazy.
Golden State missed about 4 of them in the first quarter and a half.
Well, look at Miami. Ugh. I don't mean to bring up that again, but I mean, I just don't know how these guys miss open layups. It's crazy.
Maybe
they're not even in traffic.
Maybe this far into the playoffs, they're all just beaten up. And I know it sounds strange, but that could be part of it.
It's still, I mean, dude.
I know.
They can touch the top of the backboard. I mean, make a layup. But again, listen, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun series.
It's and physical. Personal. It's been great so far.
And if you're a Celtics fan, I think that you knew you weren't going to sweep them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So why not have last night's game? It adds a lot of physicality. It adds a lot of drama. I like it.
This is going to be a great series, and last night shouldn't change your view of it at all. I still think the Celtics win this thing in 7 games. It said at the beginning of the series, last night hasn't changed my mind. Golden State is going to win games. They're really good, too.
You might have had the best point of the morning, and that is that if you're going to have a game like this where you're going to have Draymond Green throwing haymakers, and they're going to get that over-the-top physical.
Get it out of the way now.
Get it done at the beginning
so you know.
Don't
have it done in game 5 and go game
right.
5 out in San Francisco
and then get frustrated,
with the series tied at 2. Don't do that.
Come home with this crowd behind you, and I believe the refs will actually lean towards your team. I don't know anything about any wrangles. I just know human nature, and that is when you get called out and you say something as cocky as Draymond did, like, I've earned this preferential treatment from the refs, they remember that stuff. So I think that
they're going to be hesitant to tee him up twice in a game, though. Because the last thing you want if you're a ref is to kick a guy out of the game. I just think there's a big hesitancy to do that.
Maybe not teeing him up, but they might get him in foul trouble pretty early.
Oh, yeah.
I think
he would take that.
And I'm with you, Fred, and we'll play some of that Van Gundy stuff, which was hysterical. But you gotta let the play get notched up. You really got to do something serious to get a technical. Not to get kicked out, to get a technical.
Right,
because I think a technical is a technical, and it shouldn't matter if you've already got one or not.
Because really, what did Draymond and Brown do? Like, Draymond's laying on him and sure, like, won't get off of him, and I guess he pulled down his pants.
Which is pretty funny.
But, like... I mean, really? Like, I mean, he just kind of laid on him.
Like, this wasn't anything that got anyone seriously injured,
right? And you didn't throw an elbow. You didn't. You know what I'm saying?
And I think that Draymond threw himself on top of Jaylen Brown to fall on the ground.
Yes.
I think that was a dramatic. I think that was on purpose.
Yes,
but that's still not somebody having to leave the game because they were injured.
Yeah, none of the three of us would have teed him up for laying on him and not getting up.
No.
That's just like teeing him up for like being a bad sport. You didn't help him up. You kept your feet on him. Anyway, oh boy, you should have seen the tweets and emails I got. People just right in the beginning, right when Green had the possession with Horford where he stripped the ball or whatever they called the jump ball, I can't remember.
Yeah,
and right when that happened, everyone was in attack mode.
And to everyone who's watching it, surprise, this is who Draymond is.
Yeah,
he's always been this way.
And apparently Felger said Draymond sucked and he would much rather have White. So. Take that with a grain of salt.
I mean, White's been pretty good.
White's been great. White's been great.
And last night he was really good at times.
Yeah, White's been great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're taking a career here.
But
we're
said it. He's the Marchand of the NBA.
Yes, he is. He is the Marchand. You would love to have him on your team. If he was a Celtic, he would be the most popular Celtic.
He's just like Tyler Herro. If he was on your team, you'd love him.
No, not really. No.
Even you would love him on your team.
No, not even me. All right. We'll be
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.